Isaiah 43 and verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Bless the reading of God's Word tonight. As we look at this text tonight, by way of introduction, if we look at God's ways, we know the Bible says that His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We can kind of divide them down to two separate categories. First of all, there's the singular acts of God. Those are the things that God only does once. And really, He only has to do some things once. He only has to say things once, and it's still right, whether we agree with it or not. Concerning creation, He did things once, and it was good. Concerning redemption, He does things once, and it's for good. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Aren't you thankful that He only had to die one time? And He died once, and He died for all. And that includes me and you. So there's the singular acts, but then there's the repetitive acts of God. The things that He does over and 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 over again. And I think this is relating to us in this aspect, that it proves that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as the book of Hebrews tells us. That lets us know that if He has done it before, He can do it again. And somebody say amen right there. That if He's done it before, He can do it again. And in our text, God is going to restore Israel. And He gives them great confidence through the prophet Isaiah that what He did for the children of Israel in years gone by, when they came to these particular obstacles in their way, God would remove them as well. And He uses, and He goes back into memory, something that they would be very familiar with. He says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee." He looks back into the history of the children of Israel and recalls a repetitive work of God and says, "Listen, if God was able to part the waters for you, no matter what you're going through right now, He can part them again." And so really, if we look at the three times God parted the waters, I think we'll see something within our own lives. First of all, you'll notice that the waters that He parted, first of all, was the crossing over to get away. That's the title of my message tonight. It's time to cross over. Many of us are standing on this side of the shore, and God wants us to cross over into great blessings waiting upon us. First of all, notice they came to the Red Sea. The Bible says they were living 400 years living in Egypt. They were living in bondage. If my calculations aren't correct, that's about 6.5 generations of people that were living under bondage. They had nothing to look forward to but bondage and slavery. In fact, they finally got sick and tired of their bondage and started to turn to God and started to cry to God. And of course, God heard their cry. Aren't you thankful for that? And spoke to a man named Moses, and He gave him a special plan. See, they had been eating a diet of bondage. They'd been living in Egypt and eating a diet of bondage. Their diet in Egypt consisted of leeks, onions, and garlic. Really, if we would just examine that a little bit, there is no doubt what they were eating when they opened their mouth. It's no doubt what they had been feeding on when they opened their mouth. And the Bible is still true: out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So you don't have to open up your mouth too long for me to find out what you're feeding on. And they were eating a diet of bondage. And so what God told Moses to do is He instituted a plan. He said, Pharaoh's going to let the people go. And He did. But He said, before we can cross over, I'm going to have to change your diet. You're going to have to stop eating the diet of bondage and start eating the diet of redemption. And He said, what I want you to do, I want you to take a lamb. And he instituted what he calls the Feast of Passover. He said, this shall be the beginning of days for you. They followed an agricultural calendar, and now they're following a spiritual calendar. They still follow it to this day. And so the plan was, you take a lamb, you bring it into your house, and on a certain day, you would sacrifice the lamb. You would take that blood. You all know the story. They would take the blood of that lamb that would drip down in the threshold, and they would take hyssop, which is a symbol of faith, and they would take the hyssop and dip it in the blood and apply it to the side post and apply it to the top post, and the blood would be at the threshold, and then they would ask the Lord to cross over and to pass over them. That means he actually became their door. And when the Lord came through on that dreadful night, they heard crying of people, the firstborn dead, but everyone that was under the blood, everyone that was behind the blood, was safe from death. But then he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take all the scrap parts, and I don't want you to waste any of it, because you're about getting ready to take a journey, and you're going to have to change your diet. You're not eating the diet of bondage anymore. He said, I want you to roast the lamb, and I want you to eat the lamb. And so they ate that diet of redemption. The lamb was on the inside, and the blood was on the outside. And finally, they were free from bondage and free from sin. But they came to their first obstacle. The obstacle was called the Red Sea. And in order to get free from this bondage, they had to cross through the Red Sea. Oh, that's a symbol of the blood, isn't it? They had to cross through the blood, the Red Sea, to get free from Egypt and free from their bondage. And so here they were, millions of people behind Moses. Moses said, Lord, what am I going to do? And he said, listen, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And so he stood still. He waited on God's command, and he stuck forth the rod in his hand. And the Bible says the waters parted, and they were able to cross, not on muddy ground, not on wet ground, but they were able to cross on dry ground. God made a way where there seemed to be no way, and he parted the waters for them, and they were able to get away from their sin and their bondage when they crossed over. And when they crossed over, they looked behind, and Pharaoh's army was behind them. And the Bible says that the same waters that caused their freedom was the same waters that came down on their enemy. Don't you know that if God's able to get you away from sin, he will protect you and keep you? Hallelujah! Same blood they had to pass through to be free is the same blood that defeats the enemy of the children of God. So they crossed over and they began to sing a new song. The very first song you'll find in your Bible was the song sang by Miriam and by the others. And here's what they sang. Salvation belongeth to our God. They got away from sin. They got away from bondage. And they sang a song, redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hey, listen, when you cross over and get away from sin and bondage, you'll get a new song in your heart. Oh yeah, you'll be singing, but it'll be a brand new song. A song the angels cannot sing. I'm thankful tonight that one day I crossed over out of the land of bondage and into a new land. And thank God I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ. Crossed over. They crossed over to get away. But then they were in the wilderness for 40 years. God changed their diet again. He said, this I'm going to provide for you. The Bible says that one day the dew came, and then from that dew came manna. In the Hebrew, simply means, what is it? They didn't know what it was, but all they knew it was a miracle. Every day for 40 years, God provided. And for 40 years, they lived off of someone else's blessing. It fell in their lap, basically. I know they had to go out and gather it, but it really ain't too hard when it falls at your doorstep. They had been delivered. They had been redeemed. But they were living well below their privileges. And for 40 years, they wandered around living off of someone else's blessing. I thank God for salvation. I thank God for redemption. But they finally came to a place in their life when they came to another body of water, the River Jordan. And it was time for them to cross over into Canaan's land. See, God was tired of them wandering in the wilderness. Yes, they were free from Egypt. And they were out of Egypt, but Egypt wasn't out of them. And listen tonight, I'm preaching to a bunch of people that you've been wandering around in the wilderness, living off of someone else's blessing. And God wants you to cross over into the land of Canaan that floweth with milk and honey. A life full of victory that is waiting on you. But you'd rather just sit and die in the wilderness. See, they crossed the God parted the waters when they wanted to get away. Now it was up to God again to part the waters so they could grow up. Moses died. Joshua was there. We know the Hebrew name. This is the Hebrew name for Jesus. Yahshua. Joshua. The scripture says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. God used Moses to set him free. Now he was going to use Joshua to let him grow up and get into a land of victory. I know the songwriter, and I know some of you have testified, and that's fine, and I've done the same thing growing up, that we liken the land of Canaan to heaven, but that's not what it is. Canaan is a land that flows with milk and honey. Canaan is a life of victory that God wants us to have down here on earth. It was time for them to enjoy their salvation and to finally possess what God had promised them. The same God that allowed them to cross over the Red Sea was now parting the waters for them in Jordan. As soon as the priests stepped their foot into that Jordan River, the Bible says the waters parted. And they would walk across on dry ground again into the land of Canaan. And listen, they were leaving carnality. They were leaving murmuring. They were about ready to cross over into a land, listen now, of sanctification. God allowed them to be saved and experience salvation. Now God was wanting them to grow up and live a life of sanctification. Oh, hey, listen, that's not a denominational word. That's still a Bible word. And listen, every one of us in our lives, some of you here tonight, you've been in that wilderness experience. But God said there's more for you out there. There's a deeper walk. There's a higher height. And I want you to cross over. And you've been there when you said, Lord, I give you my all. And God poured the blessing down upon you and you crossed over to a land of Canaan. Too many people living in the wilderness of God's blessings. You don't grow on blessings. You grow when you cross over. See, look what happened in Joshua chapter 5. I'll read you the scripture. When they got over to Canaan, God changed their diet once again. And the children of Israel, Joshua chapter 5, encamped in Gilgal. They still kept the Passover. So you got to have the lamb. You got to have the lamb if you're going to cross over. And on the 14th day of the month, at even in the plains of Jericho. And listen, and they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover. Unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more. But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Now you're saying, now what in the world does that have to do with anything? See, too many people today, and I'm talking to my generation, a little bit older and a little bit younger. You're living off of what grandma and grandpa had. And you're using the lineage card. And you're saying that you have a right to the blessings of God because grandma and grandpa had it. Or because mommy and daddy had it. And what you're doing, you're wandering around in the wilderness. Living off of someone else's blessings. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to die in the wilderness. God taught them a lesson. When they crossed over into Canaan, the manna wasn't going to be there anymore. God had provided for them. God had blessings upon blessings for them. But there came a point in their life when they crossed over, God said, you got to go get it for yourself. the food for themselves. The manna wasn't going to fall at their feet anymore. The manna ceased. He said, you're not going back in the wilderness once you cross over. You're not going back. Listen, it's God's intention for us that when we cross over, we don't go back to the wilderness experience. But in order for us to maintain that blessing, we got to go out and get it for ourselves. Some of you don't like this preaching, but it's the truth. Listen, one of my theme verses, and some of y'all can testify to this. The lines are falling into me in the pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage, and I do. I do. My grandfather, James Ray Brown, you've heard me talk about him before. But he has six preachers in his family. I'm the only grandson that's a preacher. But out of his children, there's six of us preachers in the family. He's a deacon himself. Probably should have been a preacher. Actually, he is a preacher. If he wanted to be, he's got enough scripture in his memory. He could preach from now till Jesus comes and he'd be all right. But anyway, I've got a great heritage, not only on my mom's side, but on my dad's side as well. Full of preachers, full of singers, full of God-fearing, faithful people. And listen, it would have been easy for me, Jack, just to coast along in the way. See, they should have got to Canaan in 2 weeks, but they wandered around 40 years because they got used to the blessing. They started worshiping the blessing instead of worshiping the one that gave the blessing. And so many of you've wandered around and you came to a place in your life and you stopped and God said, you got to go forward. You got to go forward. You got to cross over. And you came to the waters and God, you said, Lord, I can't pass them. But listen, you haven't even tried to step out. I guarantee you tonight, if you're tired of living in the wilderness experience, God said, just dip your feet in the water. And the same God that parted the waters back then can part in the day and you can cross over. I was saved at the age of 5 and was raised holy living. Holy living wasn't about so much what you wore or what you did, it was how you lived. And so God was dealing with me about surrendering my life to Him and submitting to His will. And at that time, I didn't know what it was. I felt I knew what it was, but I just didn't know for sure. And so here I was, and I'd always heard my mom and dad talking about getting it on the altar and laying it on the altar and let the power of God fall in your life. But I always lived off what they had. Just lived off their splash over. I'd sit by them, you know, Brother Gray, and I'd sit by them and get their splash over. And so God said, it's time for you to stop messing around. And it's time for you to get all of me that you can. Because I got greater works for you. I got a greater plan for you. And so at the age of 19 years old, I knelt down at an altar of prayer. And I said, God, I know I'm saved. But I'm so dry, I'm tired of living in this wilderness. And He said, Brian, if you want to cross over, just step out. Just step out and give it all to me. Just step out and give it all to me. And once I said, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, yes, I'm telling you what, God parted the waters. And I stopped living off what mommy and daddy had. And I got some for myself. Listen, young people, listen, 20-somethings and 30-something, it's time for you to stop messing around. This area will die in 5 years if some of y'all don't step up and cross over. Same way down in southern Ohio. Our churches are going to die within 5 years if men and women of my age don't step up to the plate and stop living in the wilderness and start crossing over to what God has for them. God will cross the river for you to grow up. God will cross the river for you to get away. But the same God that did that will cross the waters when it's time for you to go home. Elijah was at the end of his journey. And standing beside him was a young preacher that was ready to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Elijah and Elisha came down to the River Jordan once again. And Elijah took his mantle, smote the waters. Elisha said, I want to go with you. I want a double portion of your spirit. Elijah said, you've got to be with me when I go up. That was important. I never caught this till I was studying this. He said, you got to be with me when I grow up. Why? Because he wanted him to see God part the waters. And he parted the waters. And they crossed over. And the Bible says that a chariot of fire came down and picked up Elijah. He didn't see death and he took him on the glory. One time Cowrie got in a smart aleck professor talking about that, how it was just all a myth and a lie. There's no way that could happen. He would have died in the atmosphere because it's so cold. Cowrie would say, well, duh, that's why he let him go up in a chariot of fire. And Elijah went up. And there stands Elisha at the water's edge. Crying out, my father, my father. And all of a sudden, he looks out of the corner of his eye. And sees the mantle fall. And he goes over. Picks up that mantle. And he's at the water's edge again. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And the same God that parted him for Elijah, parted him for Elisha again. And he walked across. And he realized, Randy, he realized, I don't have Elijah, but I got Elijah's God. I don't have Elijah, but I got Elijah's power. Hey, listen, we've had to say goodbye to so many friends and loved ones that have walked in the power of God, but they've left us with the mantles. And listen, it's time for us to pick them up and try them, and we'll find the same God that parted them for them will part them for us. It's time for us to go home. He'll part the waters for us too. I must be honest, I'm burdened for my generation. Those of you that have paved the way, I thank you. And I applaud you and I respect you and honor you. And you all are doing all you can to show us what we need to do. And if time should tarry, I'm going to have to say goodbye to you. But you showed me. You showed me that even though you're gone, God's power is still here. Not only did you show me how to live, but you showed me how to die. And if the time should come that I come to the foamy waters of Jordan, I won't have to worry. The same God that parted him for you, thank God, will part him for me. And I'll step across to the other side. And guess what will happen? God will change our diet again. I've been preaching a lot about food lately at the church, and I don't know why. I'm starved to death. I've been on a diet for 2 years, and I'm starving. But God will change our diet again. We'll get to sit down by the tree of life and get to pick off all the fruit and eat the leaves that are the healing of the nation. I'm telling you what, in that land it'll be so much different. Once we cross the waters, yes, we'll be known as we're known, but it'll be so much different. We'll have a brand new body likened unto the body of Christ. Thank God we'll be free, finally free from all disease, death, pain, torment, and sorrow. And thank God when we finally cross over, we'll be in heaven forever. When I come to the river at ending of day, when the last winds of sorrow have blown, there'll be somebody waiting to show me the way. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died on my sin.
sins to atone. When the darkness I see, He'll be waiting for me. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Let's all be standing tonight. What a hope we have that when we come to the waters, God will part them for us. And He'll do better than that. He'll lead us over.